The focus this morning is on 2 Peter. Oh, I think we'll go back to verse 5, but our focus is on verses 7 through 11. 2 Peter, chapter 1 at verse 5, which of course requires an explanation. Remember, up to this time, in fact, Peter is telling us the three characteristics of the Christian life. In his first letter, he instructed the church about the threats to the church from the world. In his second letter, he is expressing to us the threats to the church from inside the church, false teaching. And it doesn't even have to be false teaching. It can just be not doing what the Lord wants us to do for the purposes that he has for us. And we studied in verses 1 through 4 that the first characteristic is participation with the divine nature. That is Peter's way of expressing when a person is saved, they are literally saved because God's Spirit gives them a spiritual birth. And Peter calls it the divine nature because it's the very qualities, it's the very virtues, the very characteristics that belong to God himself, his nature. And Peter calls this relationship faith, that we are of the faith if we are participating with the divine nature. If you've been born by the Spirit of God, if you've received Christ, and you know what we mean by receive Christ, I've even preached it publicly to a large church that the word accept the Lord is not even in the Bible. Acceptance is a mental agreement. Receiving Christ is literally receiving his Spirit into your spirit. And once his Spirit comes into your spirit, you are participating with the divine nature. The second characteristic, as we got into last week, beginning with verse 5, is participation in the growth process. In fact, verse 5 starts out, if you're following along, and for this very reason also, that is, he's looking back upon this participation with the divine nature. For this very reason, after having brought in all diligence, that's our part. Diligence, spoure, is the word for priority. On our part, we are to make the decisions that put ourselves in a position to be doing what God wants us to do, and it's a matter of priority. But then after having brought in priority, he says, you supply. That's a literal translation. You supply. The word supply comes from our word chorus. The choir director back in those days had to supply all the money, all the funds, if he wanted to lead a choir. There would be no state funding. I wish Arnold could listen in on our study and run California this way. If you want a group, provide your own money. That'd be good. But after having brought in all diligence, supply in your faith. Now remember what faith is, because he's carrying this over from verses 1 through 4. That faith is the interaction and participating with the divine nature. Okay, so I'm participating with him. So he lives in me. Now what? Well, the next phase is to participate in the growth process. And he says, I'll read you a literal translation. Because there's the word in, there's the word the, and there's the word faith. In the faith. The is making reference to the growth process in faith. And of course, the word in shows the location that these growth processes are to take place. You supply in the growth process of faith, now that you're interacting with the divine nature, let it supply virtue to you. Let it supply virtue. Now, even though the command is for Christians to supply it, after having brought in all diligence, supply. It's Peter's principle, the same as Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, when Paul says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But then the next verse he says, for it's God that's working in you. God's working in you, but you have to make it a priority to make sure you're where God wants you to be growing. So he says, you, bringing in all diligence, you let the growth process in faith supply virtue to you. Those are the qualities of God. That's his nature, his characteristics. As we've said to you the last couple of weeks, you become influenced by the people that you hang around. Whether it's a good influence or bad influence, it's still going to have an influence on you. By participating with the divine nature, his characteristics, his virtues, his morals, his character influences our life. And that is to be the first process or level of growth in the believer's life. Secondly, and in the process of growth in virtue, let it supply knowledge. Notice that all of these are growing out of the growth process right before it. So in the growth process in virtue, let it supply knowledge. This is the knowledge of him. We become acquainted with him in this interaction with his characters and virtues. When somebody comes up to you and says, do you know so-and-so? Well, either you do or you don't. Say, well, I've met him once. So what Peter is saying is, do you know the Lord? Spent time with him? Is he working in you? Is he changing you into his image? Into his likeness? Do you know the Lord? And we know him by, not by participating in a religious system, but by interacting with his divine nature, with all of his characteristics, all of his holiness. Then he says, thirdly, and in the process of growth in knowledge, let it supply self-control. As I told you, that's not self-control as in control yourself from eating candy or cookies. Yes, I know. I did long research on that one because... But it's literally the control of self. The Greek word is to grip inside, to have a grip on you from inside. So the control of my life from the inside, by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God, comes by interacting with his virtues, coming to know him. And his Spirit begins to control me from the inside. Next, fourthly, and in the growth process of the control of self, let it produce endurance. Now, the word patience, if you're a King Jameser, or if you see the word patience, that's usually this word, hupomeno. Hupomeno, it has to do with circumstances. Patience has to do with circumstances, where long-suffering has to do with people. Long-suffering means to be slow in human reaction towards others. We all got a handle on that one, right? But then? Yeah, but he doesn't live with you, and that's... Yeah. In the growth process of the control of self, let it produce endurance. It literally means to remain under. That's the reason why in my difficult circumstances, I have trouble remaining under and trusting the Lord. Because I'm out of control. I'm not under his control. And I don't know him very well. And his Spirit is just a concept to me. I really don't know him very well at all. Therefore, to remain under is going to be a very difficult thing to do if I am not brought under his control. Fifthly, and in the growth process of endurance, let it produce godliness. Godliness, eusebia, has to do with reverence towards God. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. You ever notice that when we are not able to remain under any longer, now that means we might be able to trust the Lord for a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, or whatever the case may be, but we get to the point where we say, okay, Lord, I've trusted you. That's enough. The end. Take it away. And by not being able to remain under and trust him, we develop an attitude towards him that we show to other people. They see us when we trust him, but then they also see us when we're complaining against him. A healthy reverence towards God, an attitude, comes when we have developed spiritually our relationship with the Lord to the point that we can remain under. And that comes because he's controlling from within. And that comes because we know him. And that comes because we're interacting with his spirit. Sixthly, and in the growth process of reverence or godliness, let it supply brotherly love. Philadelphia is the Greek word. It's family love. Family love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. And notice everything that has to do with love is the last two phases of Christian growth. To have a love for the brotherhood. That's the whole family of God. And in the growth process of brotherly love, let it supply agape love to you. Agape love is the highest level of Christian maturity. In essence, what this word means is once you have reached the top of Christian maturity, you're at the bottom. Because agape means to love the Lord so much that you're willing to lay down your life for him. It's sacrifice. You love the brothers and sisters so much that even though you might not like them, even though you might not get along with them, You lay down your life for the brothers and sisters. It's you're serving them. If everybody had that like-mindedness that we're here to serve one another. We studied in our study on Thursday night in Mark 10:45, where Jesus said, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. Here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's the Creator of the universe coming in human form. And he says, I didn't come here for you to serve me. I came here to serve you. It's a powerful message and it's a powerful example to leave with his people. You know, one day we're going to rule and reign with him here on the earth. But right now it's service. Right now we're servants. We're servants of Christ and servants of one another. And then we start in verse 8. In verse 8, starts out with, for these things existing in you and abounding. Notice how I read that, because the ing word in English would denote a participle. For these things continually existing in you and continually abounding, they do not establish you as inactive nor unfruitful toward the goal of the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are involved in these growth processes, that's what he's saying. They establish you that you will not be inactive nor unfruitful. You're going to bear fruit for God. Toward, notice ace, those of you following along with the diagram in the Greek text, full knowledge toward the mark of the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're on the right path. We're coming to know him completely and fully, as much as we can to know about him. So if these things are existing in you and are abounding, you'll be active. You'll be fruitful. in this full knowledge, and notice how I translated full knowledge, because the English text just translates it knowledge, but it has a little preposition in front of it that means full knowledge. It doesn't mean just bits and pieces. It's coming to know the whole counsel of God. Everything that God has given to us that reveals to us that about himself that he wants us to know. The theme in 2 Peter 3:18 is that even though everybody else is doing what they're doing, what believers should be doing is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So is the Bible our textbook? No. God's design is that we spend time together studying the Word, and the design is that His Spirit would renew our minds. Literally heal the cortex of the brain. Having all these experiences of sin and abuse and all these things, experiences in the world, and God's Spirit takes His Word. And as Paul said in Romans 12:2, renews the mind. And he also said, be involved in renewing the spirit of the mind. It's not a matter of memorizing knowledge of the Bible. It's gaining the perspective the way God looks at life. We all have our own philosophies. Well, God's got his. He wants our philosophy to be his. The way we look at life, he wants us to look at life the way we look at life, or we look at life the way he looks at life. So the first reason, those of you following in your diagrams, verse 8 starts with the word gar. So that's the first reason that we should be doing this. Look at the second reason in verse 9. For to whom these things are not present. That's a literal translation. If these stages of growth are not going on in a person's life, he says he is blind, being myopic. Myopic means nearsighted. And when he says blind but nearsighted, I mean, if you're blind, you're blind, right? But what he's talking about is this walking around squinting because you can't see very far and you're trying to see. You look like you're blind, but in reality you're squinting because you can't see very far. Having received forgetfulness. That's kind of interesting, the literal translation. You've acquired for yourself a forgetfulness of the cleansing of your old sins. You forgot where you came from. You forgot that the Lord died for you on the cross so that he could save you. And you decided, I am now participating with the divine nature, so off I go. It's like, wait a minute. Yes, you are participating with the divine nature, but it's for a reason. There's a reason why his spirit lives inside of us, because he's changing us from the inside. There's a growth process going on. So there's two different kinds of Christians. It has nothing to do with attitude. I think a lot of it has to do with ignorance. We are ignorant in the body of Christ as to what the Lord would have us to be doing. There's one person who's involved with the growth processes. That's the top priority in their life. They don't care whether they go somewhere and feel good, or whether they're bored or they're not bored. They're just, I want to grow in my relationship with Christ. There's other people that say, no, that's not a priority. They're blind, being myopic, and they have forgotten. Remember, you're going your own way. You've forgotten you were cleansed for going that old your own way. The Lord took you out of that and said, walk with me. Therefore, in verse 10, it says, on account of which, that is these two reasons, verses 8 and verses 9. We have one Christian that's involved in the growth process, the other Christian that's not their priority. On account of which, rather, brothers, be diligent to make your calling and election established. You've probably heard messages where somebody said, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're saved. That's not what it means. Bebaios has to do with establishing something. So you've been called. God's called you and you've responded to the call. And so God wants you now to establish that calling and that election. Be involved in firming up, solidifying your relationship with the Lord. And then it gives a reason. It gives two reasons here too. Why should I be being diligent, making it top priority to make my calling and election established? For by doing these things, the word doing is a participle, continuous lifestyle. For by doing these things, you shall never, at any time, ever stumble. Triple negative. A triple negative. Well, you're trying to guarantee me that if I'm totally involved with the Lord and His Word, well, what other? You don't have time to get into trouble. People ask me all the time, how's it going? I don't know. I stay busy with the Lord. I hope nothing's going wrong. You know? If that's the priority in my life, I have the promise from the Bible that I will never stumble. Even though I'm in the flesh, never stumble. Second reason, verse 11. One of the most important verses in the Bible. For in this way, notice the literal translation, for in this way richly shall be supplied to you. See the play on words? Back in verse 8, it was you supply. And as you are involved in these growth processes, when you enter into heaven, there'll be something supplied to you. First adverb is the word, see the word so? In your English text, that's the word in this way. In what way? As you are participating with the divine nature, as these things are being developed in you, that's your entrance into heaven. There will be supplied to you richly the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the third principle in verse 11. You participate with the divine nature. You participate with the growth processes. You also participate with a rich entrance into heaven if you are involved in these processes. Now, I know that might be a new concept to many people because many, many Christians believe we're all going to be the same. Well, we are spiritually. We're all going to have spiritual bodies, and we're all going to be the same. We're not going to have different models, and Toyota's not going to have to make a recall, or, you know, yeah, I got a Toyota frame, and, pedal's the problem. You know it would be me if we're all millions of people around the throne looking up at the master, and Bill goes, crashes right into the, you know, it's got to be me, right? Toyota recall, yeah, thanks. But most Christians do not understand that whatever the growth process takes place here in a believer's life, that is what you enter into heaven with. Let me read to you Paul's version, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul says, then who, therefore, is Paul? And who is Apollos? You remember Paul came through and preached the gospel and they received Christ and were saved. Apollos came through and he taught them. So you had an evangelist and then you had a teacher. Who is, therefore, Paul and who is Apollos? But servants, diakonos, where we get a word deacon from. That's the Greek word for waiter, to wait on tables. We're servants. through whom you believed. Not in whom, but through whom. We were the vessels. And to each one, as the Lord gave the ability. So he's saying this is our function is according as the Lord gave us the ability to do. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gave the growth. So he's putting everything into perspective. We're in service to Christ and we're serving you, and as he ministers through us and he gives us that ability to minister, he says, I'm the planter in this case and Apollos is the waterer. But God's the one that gives the growth. So then, verse 7, in the Greek text it means in conclusion. So then neither the one who is planting is anything, neither the one who is watering, but God who is giving growth. Verse 8, and the one who is planting and the one who is watering are one, because they both are endued with the same spirit, both come from the same place. Both have the same spirit in them, just performing different phases of the growth process. But each one, each person, will receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's between he and Apollos. Verse 9, for we are fellow workers of God, and you are cultivated fields, and you are the building of God. You're the cultivated field, and you are the building of God. He's using farming terms. He's using construction terms. Not for us to construct, but it's something that is built in our lives. Verse 10, he says, according to the grace which has been given to me, he becomes now more specific about these two processes. According to the grace that has been given to me, as a wise master builder, so he says, I'm the construction worker, Apollos and I, we got our belts on and our bags and our nails and hammers, and he says, as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation. But another comes along and builds upon that foundation. And then he changes the language and says, but let each one see or notice how he is building. You have to take notice. And he's going to tell us here that the foundation, there's no other foundation that can be laid. Well, once you receive Christ, you surrender your life to Christ, you belong to Christ. But there is a difference in how you build, how you grow upon this foundation. For no one is able to lay another foundation alongside of the one which has been laid, which is Jesus the Christ. So, foundation. Jesus Christ is the only foundation that's laid. But then we have a conditional clause. But if anyone is building upon this foundation, gold, silver, and valuable stones, wood, grass, or straw. You just imagine that in your mind. These are two sets of three. If I am founded in Christ, and Christ is the foundation of my life, and I build with gold, silver, and precious stones, that's pretty good. So we're going to take an offering right now and put your watches in. You can do anything. I read an article once. It was in the New York Times. Some guy said, grass, dollar a pound. All these drug people sending their dollar and their addresses, and he sent them his lawn clippings. Made a lot of money. But so wood, grass, and straw. You know, you can imagine if you built a foundation, a solid foundation, and you built your building materials out of wood, grass, and straw. Depends what you have to face, right? He says, the work of each one shall become manifest. Reason? For the day will reveal it, because it shall be revealed in fire. and the work of each one, and the fire will prove, put to the test, the work of each one as to what kind it is, what the material is made of. It is interesting that this has nothing to do with hellfire, or there is a fire that Christians will pass through. And my concept imagery in my mind, I always picture that car wash, you know, where they take your car and go right down and see all the water falling. Except for us, when we enter in, we're going to go right down. It's going to pull us down the line. Instead of water, it's going to be fire. And everything that is not of Christ, everything that's of the flesh, the grass, the wood, and the straw is going to burn. Gone. Because that day is going to reveal as to what kind of material it's made of. But it says in verse 14, about the finish of the building, again, a conditional clause, but if the work of anyone remains, you come out the other side and you've got one ear and one arm, or no, you've got something remaining, which he has built upon, he will receive a reward. Verse 15. If the work of anyone is burned up, these are Christians. This is not hell, where a person is burned up in hell. It means the work that's been done, the materials that have been built upon this foundation, it shall be consumed and they will suffer loss. Do you know Christians are going to suffer loss? Not their salvation. It's just that the only things that are going to enter into heaven are those growth processes that were developed by the Spirit of God, and everything else is going to burn. So in a very healthy way, it should haunt us, in the sense that, what am I doing, you know? Hey, nice concert, and enjoyed the Dancing Bears, and, you know, and I enjoyed the, you know, movie or whatever the case may be, but are we growing? Are we growing to the point that we know him and he has a grip on us from inside and we can remain under and trust him with a healthy, reverential attitude towards him? And when we're able to have a good attitude towards God, we're able to be kind to and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know when a brother or sister has not reached that growth process, when they come up to you and say, "Hi, brother, get away from me." Okay, how about going back to virtue and work your way? But we have a love for the brotherhood, and we have a sacrificial love for people. But it all comes with growth. One comes after the other. One comes before the other in order for this to take place. But he says, if the work of anyone should be consumed, he will suffer loss. It's going to burn. But he himself shall be saved, but so as through fire. The word "so" again is in this way. He'll be saved through the fire. The fire won't touch your salvation. Your foundation won't burn, because that's Jesus Christ. But the wood and the grass and the straw that we call Christianity or Christian works or Christian lifestyle, whatever that might be, if it's not of the Lord, it's going to burn. Even if it's in the name of the Lord, it's going to burn. This is Paul's detailed presentation. He goes on to say, verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles or corrupts the temple of God, that person God will corrupt. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We can either be involved in the growth processes, or we can be involved in corrupting the very temple which God's Spirit lives in. If that be the case, God will make sure. You want corruption? You're going to get corrupted. You'll reap what you sow. There are teachings in Scripture by Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, that basically says, I'm leaving this message, this teaching behind for you, because within the church there will be a threat to you by people who are sincere. They just want to do things for the Lord, but they do not lead you down the path of growth in Christ, spiritual maturity. That you're going to enter into heaven with this. Everything else is going to burn. We're not talking about works. We're talking about building. We're talking about development. So Peter says, here are the three characteristics. Participation with the divine nature, participation with the growth process, and participation in a rich entrance into heaven. That's what it's all about. I'm not going to get rewards for doing things. Have all these awards hanging off my robe in heaven, you know, dragging to the ground because it's got so many medals on this. We're comparing our medals and trophies with one another. That's, yeah. This is why we focus on fellowship and worship and prayer. But above all, top priority is the Word of God. Not because it's our duty, but because God's Spirit takes His Word and just stops us for a moment and makes us realize what His design is, what His plan is, and why. See, now we have this already ingrained in us. I'm not saying you, but we as a people, American people, we go to school, we spend thousands of dollars to be schooled for a career. We spend lots of time in our career, and what's the goal? Retirement. Oh boy. I get tired every day, but they say the average age for a company executive that retires, he lives for 2 years. But let's say he lives for 20 years on retirement and then dies. Now what? You see, being with the Lord is our retirement. I'm either involved in the processes with His Spirit to change and transform me so that when I retire in His full glory and richly enter into heaven. We had a man down in Los Angeles that attended one of our studies, and he worked at the Los Angeles Museum, Art Museum. He was in charge of the art museum, and he would tell us, after he listened to these studies for a couple of weeks, he came up and he says, well, I can fully identify with that. He says, when we have a showing of artists and their paintings, you can tell the people who understand it and participate with it and appreciate it more than other people. Because they come in here and they study each picture. You know, with me, nice color. And what is it? You know, oh, cool. You know, and that's about my painting expertise. You know, but people who actually know and understand it, they study the brush strokes of the artist, because the artist is expressing himself, and they're trying to get the expression of the artist. And he was telling us there are people that stay in LA all week long, and that's all they do every day, Monday through Friday, is go through and study the paintings. Me, 20 minutes. And I'm over at McDonald's. You know. Nice colors. And yeah, okay. And, you know. And he says, I can see that that's exactly the way it's going to be in heaven. Everybody who's saved is going to be there. But there are people who are going to be able to understand and appreciate and function differently than other people. Because they don't understand. They've never been developed. They don't know it. So you see, church, Bible study, and fellowship, those are not duties that a Christian is supposed to do. If you're a Christian now, this is what you should be doing. Okay, drudgery, you know, here I go. Trying to do what a Christian's supposed to do. This is living. It's alive. It's not a religious ceremony or liturgy. It's participating with the divine nature and allowing His nature to change our minds and to change our philosophy and to change our view of life, even change our lifestyle, so that we can participate in a rich entrance into heaven. Peter's telling us there's two kinds of Christians. Look to the future. Instead of spending time just dropping in on meetings, what's the priority of your life? How about your eternity? Yeah, we'll all be saved. I might be putting images in your mind, but every time I see the films on the news of the fires that just go through and sweep a neighborhood and just ravage the whole neighborhood, and it, all of a sudden here's a foundation and a chimney. Always brings back to, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. People walk by and up in heaven, they go, wow, foundation, that's Bill's address. He's here, but, you know. So we have it ingrained in us that we're working towards something that we think is of value to us. We have a priority that governs and motivates us in life. And it usually has to do with this earthly life, not eternity. And Peter's trying to draw our attention and say, that's nice if you go to church and they entertain you. But if you're not growing, if you're not involved in these growth processes, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is God's design plan, then you're missing it. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word and for Your Spirit. We pray that Your Spirit would minister to each of us these important things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.